Well, good morning again. So we are in a new series now called Rooted Relationships. And I'm excited for this because this is something that's been kind of in the works. We've had a group that's been meeting in our church for about 10 weeks and we have finished our group. And I want to, that's not the announcement, by the way. You're like, what's the announcement? Everybody wants to know what the announcement is. Hey, just so you know, if you don't have us on Facebook, you need to get on Facebook, like our page, because we've got a lot of cool stuff that we're announcing through our Facebook page so that you guys can become more informed about the life of our church. But rooted relationships is an extremely important part. So you're not going to get a whole bunch of like theological, you know, like going through the book of James kind of thing. This is more application than it is anything. And before we get started there, let me just pray one more time. So, Father, we thank you that we get to be here today. Open our hearts and open our ears. Allow us to be challenged by your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, here's something funny. Well, I guess it's not funny, but it's kind of funny. We were at the gym last week. Yeah, I was at the gym. I'm trying. It's a struggle. The struggle is real. And we're at the gym, and we're working out. She loves the treadmill, and I'm over in the corner doing my thing. And there's this other guy that comes into the church, or into the gym. And I mean, this dude's, like, he benches like 300 pounds, man. I mean, he's big. And another kid come walking in, and then he sits down at the bench press, and he put like 250 pounds on this thing. I can't even bench 250 pounds. And he puts two, I mean, this kid's like 150 pounds in his clothes wet. Like, he's not very big. And you know, I'm just like, what? Okay, I guess he can do it. So I turn my head and I keep working out. And next thing you know, you hear a, ooh, ah, help. He lifted the bar up. And before I could even notice it, thank God for the other really strong guy, because he had to rush over there and get the bar off of him. And it's funny, because the other guy didn't just sit there and be like, hey man, I'll pray for you. I hope you can pick that bar up, you know, and just like, I'm praying for you, you can do it. It's funny because he ran across that room, he picked that bar up, and he lifted it for him under the crushing weight. Huh. I'm watching this, and I'm just thinking, like, and God spoke to me. I don't mean that like he audible voice, but in my heart and in my spirit, he says something to me. And he goes, man, that's what I want New Hope Church to look like. I want New Hope Church to look like that situation. When someone's about to get crushed by the weight of life, we don't stand around and say, I pray for you. We rush over and we grab that bar. Right? But here's what I've been thinking about that really does worry me, not just here in our church, but in our world and other churches and all this. We come every Sunday, we sing songs, we hear a message, we go home and we think, man, we did Christianity today. I did my Sunday, I checked that box. But I want to ask you something, and I want you to really think about this. When was the last time you rushed over to help somebody who was crushing under the weight of life? Because if we're honest, and we really need to be honest here, most of us are living like we're working out alone, like we're going to the gym all by ourselves. We're living like we don't need a spotter to help us. And that's not just unchristian, it's really dangerous. It's really dangerous. So if you've got your Bibles, open them up to Galatians. It's a smaller book towards the back in the New Testament. Galatians 6:1-10. I'll give you a minute, moment to turn there, because we are a Bible-believing church. If you don't have a Bible, come ask me and I'll get you a Bible. Galatians 6, 1 through 10. Oh, she did get it on the screen. I didn't put the note on there to put it on the screen. She did it. AJ is so good. She keeps me on my toes. It says, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, gently restore that person. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one of us should test their own, each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone, without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. Now, you got to understand, Paul is writing this letter to the churches, more than one church in Galatia. It's not just one specific church, it's many churches. And so the issue here is there's real problems in the church, like there is even today. These weren't perfect people in this perfect community with perfect lives. They're messy. I'm a pastor. People are messy. I'm messy. These people were struggling. And something that we see every day, all the time, is that this church was actually trying to add works to grace. They were trying to add works to their salvation. Because grace is unmerited favor, meaning that the gift is already given, you just got to grab a hold of it. You don't have to earn it or work for it. And they were struggling with this. Some of the other Christians in this church were also using grace as an example to sin, as an example to sin, saying, oh, God's grace is enough so I can do whatever I want. We call that hyper grace. Does this sound familiar to you guys? We try to add something to what God's already finished and says it's done, or we use His grace as a reason to continue to live in our sin. But here's what Paul says. Or here's what he doesn't say. I'm sorry. Figure it out on your own. Just figure it out. You guys got it figured out. You'll figure it out someday. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say just pray about it either. Oh, we're really good at that, aren't we? Nobody's nodding their head. It's okay. You're in a safe place. I'll pray about it, but do we really pray about it? Sometimes. He says something radical here. In this verse, he says, carry each other's burdens. That is kind of where we're going to hang out. Carrying each other's burdens. It's a radical command. This is a radical command to bear each other's burdens. In verse 2, it says again, it says, carry each other's burdens, and in the same way you will fulfill the law of Christ. This isn't a suggestion here. This isn't for the superhuman Christian people either. This is the way we fulfill the law of Christ. Well, Pastor Jeremy, what's the law of Christ? Love God and love others. If you do this, every other law fits into those two laws right there. Love God and love others. You got to understand here, this isn't even... The law of Christ isn't even based on perfect theology or doctrine. Though it is extremely important to have our doctrine down correctly, but that's not the focus of it. It's not the great worship time we have in the morning. Though worship does matter, it's through bearing each other's burdens. When life is crushing you, you have people around you that can help lift that weight. Now, the early church had a really cool word for this, and I love this word, and it's called koinonia. Say that with me. Koinonia. We have this word, and we think about it in the Greek. It's the Greek word for fellowship. But we've domesticated this word over here in the States, in the Western world. We've domesticated. We think it means fellowship. Like, after service today, we're going to have fellowship. We're going to have food. We've dumbed this word down. But koinonia is much more radical than just sitting around a table having coffee and having some brisket. Thanks, guys. Right? Thank you. It's so much more than that. Think of this. Let me give you an illustration here. You got two men in a foxhole in the middle of a war. Okay? One's got a canteen full of water. The other one's got a granola bar. The one doesn't say, well, I hope I wish you luck with your thirst. The other one says, well, I wish you work luck, and I'll be praying for you because you don't have a granola bar. No, it doesn't work like that. They share each other's water. They share each other's food. Because in the battle, when you're in battle together, your survival depends on each other. Each other. That's koinonia. It's not a casual friendship or a weekend socialization over coffee and small talk. It's not showing up to church when it's convenient or waving hello to somebody across the worship center. It's more than that. It's life and death. This is the recognition that we're in a battle for our lives. We are coming to terms that we are in battle. We're fighting for our kids. We're fighting for our marriages. We're fighting for our families, our finances, addiction, mental health, even our very souls. We're in a battle. And just like the men in the war, you can't win a war by yourself. It's been 3 months I've been saying this scripture. Y'all should have it memorized by now. Acts 2, 44 through 47. This is who we are. This is who God is calling our church to be. All believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who is in need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying favor of all people. That is the church. You get it? They had everything in common. That's koinonia. They were getting rid of their possessions to help somebody in need. They were sacrificing what they had to help somebody. It's not just sharing a meal. It's sharing life. But here's what we've done. We've turned church into a country club, where we smile and we say, I'm fine. How's your week? I'm fine. Everything was good. When our marriages could be falling apart, where we could be secretly struggling with addiction, pornography, alcohol, drugs, when we're secretly inside of our minds, sitting there in our mental health, wondering if we should even continue to live. And we're sitting there all alone, thinking we're the only ones going through these things. No, we're not fine. And if you are fine, find somebody who's not fine and help. We pretend we have it all together when we're drowning in debt, addiction, fear, loneliness. Can I tell you something? That's not the church that Jesus died for. Jesus died so that we could have a place. Didn't die for a place that we could perform. He died so we could have a family that actually functions like a family. And in a real family, when somebody's drowning, you don't just throw them a life preserver, you jump in the water with them. That's koinonia. We don't just pray for people and send them on their way. We join them in the work of healing and growth, and we help carry that weight. We share the load because we share life together. The personal and the mutual responsibility that we must carry. Now here's where it gets a little tricky. It says each of us should carry our own weights. Wait a minute. Wait, Paul just told us that we were supposed to carry the weight of others. Now he's saying we need to carry our own weight. What's he talking about here? Well, it's both. You need to carry the weight of others, but you also need to be responsible for your own walk. It's both. Burdens are the crushing weight that we can't carry on our own. It's too heavy for one person. But load means it's a normal responsibilities of our life that we can do. So what does that look like practically? If your brother is struggling with addiction, you bear that burden with him. You don't enable him, but you walk with him through recovery. You check in on him. You pray with him. You hold him accountable. But you don't do his recovery for him. He has to show up to his meetings. He has to do his 12 steps. He needs to put the work in. That's the load part of it. He has to do the work. He has to go to the meetings. He has to make this important to his life. That's his load that nobody else can carry for him. Maybe it's a friend who's going through a divorce. You bear the burdens with them. You help them with the kids one night. You sit with them while they cry. You don't try to fix the situation, but you make this, and you don't make decisions for them. You don't fight their battles. That's their load. But you're to be there and be present with them. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12. Two are better than one, because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help them, the other up. But pity the fool. pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves, and a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. That's funny because it says it's talking about two and then it adds a third one in. Who's the third one? This is why we need each other. Not because we're weak, but because we're designed for community. We're designed to do life together. So we need to be rooted in Jesus. Rooted in Jesus. Here's your announcement. Here's your one of them. A life transforming experience. I have a question for you. I need a response. Who wants to connect with God? Who wants to find lasting, real relationships? The kind that we're talking about today. Who wants to know your God-given purpose? You all better sign up when I ask you to sign up. All the hands were up, so there's no excuse now. The pastor's seen your hands. That's what's going to happen right here at New Hope Church through our rooted discipleship process. We've just finished our first group. But I want you to know, I'm going to set the stage for the next 4 weeks of what this is going to look like, having rooted relationships. Not just about this discipleship ministry, but what it means to be rooted in Christ. This isn't just another Bible study where we sit in a circle and share our favorite Bible verses. No. Oh, it's so not that, right? She said, no. Nope. This is a 10-week journey of being rooted in Christ that will transform how you connect with God, connect with the church, and with your purpose. Hebrews 10, 24 through 25. And let us consider how we may spur one another towards love and good deeds. Not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Let me tell you what rooted in Jesus actually does. This is, since I've been a Christian and I've struggled with this, I still struggle with this today in certain areas of my life. Being rooted in Christ, it roots you in your identity. There are so many people I connect with on a daily basis that their identity isn't in Christ, it's in who they once were or what they once did. You're going to discover who you are in Christ and not who people say you are. Not what the world calls you. For a long time, I used to wear a letter on my chest. Had a big T on it for theft. Because in my story, I stole over $100,000 worth of gas station equipment. $100,000 worth. And ended up getting 3 felonies over it. And so I walked around with a big T. Now, nobody else was saying it, but I knew it was there. I'm never going to get a job. I wanted to get a job at State Farm at one time, but I can't because I have a big T on my chest saying theft. I carried around that a false identity of who I was. I used to walk around and say, hey, my name's Jeremy, I'm an addict. Wrong, you're not an addict. You're a child of God, saved with a purpose and a story. And you know what? Here's what you say. Hey, my name's Jeremy, and I struggle with addiction, but Jesus is my Lord and Savior. That's how you when you're a child of God, you're not an addict. That's the wrong identity. That's not who you are. That's what you struggle with. You're a child of God, and God paid a price for you, and he didn't pay it for you to call yourself an addict. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. He already has your plan figured out. You just need to get on the same plan. And that means your identity needs to be rooted in who he is, not in who you are. It roots you in an authentic community. You're going to experience what it's like to be known and loved at the same time. We got one of my ladies up in the front saying, it's weird, but it's cool. You're going to know what it means, hear me, to be loved and known. To share your actual testimony. And I'm not talking the G-rated one? Like, you're going to share some deep stuff that you probably never shared with somebody before. And guess what? Here's the beautiful part about it. Because when you do this, you have people who really get to know you without judgment. You know why? Because guess what? They have to share their story too. It's a two-way thing. It's amazing how it works. Romans 15:7 says, accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. You accept each other just the way you are. It also roots you in your calling. You're going to discover your new, unique gifts. There's a really long spiritual gifts test that we take. Some of them took 30 minutes. Some people took 10 minutes because people were like, really wanted to know this. You take spiritual gift test. It's amazing. And how those gifts that God has given you are going to play into his calling and your purpose in your life. And I'm not talking just in your own life. I'm talking about in your church, at work, in your family, your neighborhood, your community. These gifts are going to unpack things and help transform everything around you. 1 Peter 4:10 says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve yourself, others, to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. It roots you in mission. You're going to serve together in ways that you might stretch you. You're going to see God working through you in ways that you never even imagined. Matthew 25:40 says, the king will repay. Truly, I tell you, whatever you did for the least of one of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Here's what people have told me about our rooted experience. Here's a couple of people who have, we just graduated our rooted group, and they want to share something with you.
Hello. I thought I knew God. But rooted showed me I was living on the surface. Now I have a relationship with Jesus that's real. It's deep. And he's changing everything about how I live. God does not make junk. Amen.
I discovered gifts I never knew I had. God is using me in ways I never thought possible.
For the first time in my life, I have friends who know the real me. And they love me anyway. I'm not performing anymore. I'm just being who God made me to be. And everything is okay.
Oh, and if you notice her shirt, it says, I'm fine, this is fine, everything is fine. It's just a big rat's nest of Christmas lights. Isn't that true? There'll be more little testimonials. We got something at the end of this four-week series that we're going to do that's really going to be cool and encouraging. But, you know, I've done many of these rooted groups. We did them at our old church. And it's not like any small group you've ever done before. It's life. We eat food. We pray, we serve, we pray some more, we eat some more, and we get to know each other. I want to share so much stuff, but I just can't do it right now, so I'm not going to do it. You're going to hear some more stories. Here's what I want you to understand, though. This isn't about adding another activity to your calendar. I know we're all busy. I get it. But go back to the question I asked you earlier. Who wants to know God, your purpose, and have real relationships? If we talked about it last week, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If it's important to you, you will make time, and you will find a way to do it. It's not about adding another activity to the calendar. This is about fundamentally changing how you do life. We fast. How many people's fast in here? Yeah. It's an experience. You're going to learn to fast and the meaning behind it. This is about moving from being content as a Christian, like I'm okay right here, doing my own little thing, to actually being a participator in world change and making kingdom impact. Where you're at, in your families, in your community, in your homes, in your workplaces. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, therefore encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Are we really doing that? Well, rooted is where it's going to happen. Where we are going to be equipped to live that out. So I want to challenge you with something. Look around this room. Go ahead. Look around this room. Look at the people in this room. And there's a lot of people not here. I just like to make you guys feel awkward sometimes. It's cool. Look at the people sitting near you. Some of them in this room are carrying burdens that are so heavy that they are being crushed by them. And we come in here on a Sunday and we sit down and act like everything is fine and put a smile on. There are people in this room, because I know, because I'm the pastor, I know there are people in this room who have life crushing circumstances going on. And they're doing it. They've been doing it all alone for a long time. And we're doing it alone because the world has created a culture where it's not safe to be honest and to say, I'm not okay. What if we changed that culture? What if we became the kind of church where people could actually say, I'm not okay. I need help. What if we became the kind of people who didn't just say, I'll pray for you, but actually showed up? That's what being rooted in Jesus is all about. It's about 10 to 12 people deciding to do life together for 10 weeks and discovering what could actually happen when we live like the body of Christ. When we actually live like we're rooted in Christ. Galatians 6, 9, and 10 says, let us not become weary of doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have an opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. I love that. Reap a harvest. Reap a harvest. The harvest isn't just your individual growth. The harvest is a community that actually looks like Jesus. The harvest is people who are so rooted in Christ that they can't help but bear fruit. You can't help but bear fruit. Jesus said, you'll know my disciples by their fruit. If we ain't bearing fruit, we need to like take a real close look at our walk with Christ and our look at our church. Because when we are rooted and we have that harvest, we bear the fruit of love and joy and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Who needs a little self-control in this house? All the hands go up. Who needs a little more gentleness and faithfulness and goodness and kindness and patience? I was talking to somebody today, or it was 2 days ago. I said, you know, the first rule of being a new Christian is not to ask God for patience. That's the first rule. Don't pray for... No, I'm just kidding. Because he's going to, guess what? He's not going to give you patience. He's going to put you in situations where you have to learn patience. And that is fun. That's sarcasm. He's going to put you in positions where you can grow in this stuff. He's going to carry that burden because we can't carry it by ourselves. The fruit of the Spirit is God working in us and through us. We naturally can't be good people. We are all about us. We are sinful. We like things our way. We have our own desires. But when the Holy Spirit steps in and does His work through us, that is where our fruit comes from. That's what I want for all of us. And I didn't say you, I said us. Me too. That's what God wants for all of us, a life that's not just surviving, but a life that is thriving. Not just believing, but becoming who we're meant to be. It's one thing to believe, but to become is a whole another walk, another journey, I want to become what God wants me to be. I want to become and have the I want to bear fruit that only God can bear, because I don't want it to be about me. I want it to be about Him. I don't want to just believe. I want to become. So here's what I want you to do. We're in the beginning of a 4-week series called Rooted Relationships. This is just the intro. This is just the intro. Over the next 4 weeks, we're going to dive deep into what it means what it means to be a household of God. We're going to explore mutual encouragements, mentoring new believers, because we've got a lot of people just starting this walk out. And some of us who've been walking with Jesus for many years has a lot of wisdom that we need to pour into some people. When our faith is rattled, the people who've had to walk and learn faith can pour that faith into us. We're going to learn how to handle disappointment. Patience, hope, and dealing with division and unity. Because man, I tell you what, division is everywhere. You can't go anywhere without there being division somewhere. And we're going to talk about unity. At the end of this series, you're going to have an opportunity to sign up for this Rooted course. It's not even a course. It's an experience. It's not a Bible study, it's an experience. But I don't want to wait until then for you to start praying about it now, because I'm not opening it right now. I want you to start praying and asking God, is this how you want me to grow? Is this how you want me to experience community here at New Hope Church? Because here's what I believe is going to happen. God is going to use the next 4 weeks to prepare your heart for something beautiful. He's going to show you areas where you need community. He's going to reveal burdens and addictions that you've been carrying along. Yeah, because one of the weeks is called Strongholds. And we're going to talk about pride of life, the lust of eyes, addiction, codependency. We're going to talk about all those things, a whole week of it. And guess what? Here's the funny thing. If you think you're the only one who struggles, you're not. He's going to reveal burdens that you've been carrying alone for so long. They've almost become a part of you. They become a part of your identity. He's going to give you a vision for what your life could look like when you truly are rooted in Him. Jeremiah 17, 7 through 8 says, "But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in Him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit." That's what I want for you, all of you. I want you to bear so much fruit that we have to do some pruning. Ouch. It's part of the process. I'm trying to scare you, but it happens. God wants to prune the things of your life because when He prunes, it bears more fruit. But it's not always a pleasant process, but it's a needed process. Who has roses? You know you got to prune your roses, right? Because when you prune those off, more roses grow. That's what God wants for you. It's not just surviving, it's thriving. It's not just getting by, it's bearing fruit. Not just being Christian, but being rooted. If God is stirring in your heart, if you've tried of doing the Christianity alone, and if you want to be a part of something that actually matters, start praying about it. Because we're going to do probably more than one group. If I have to lead another group, I'll lead another group because I got so many people that want to sign up. That's my prayer. The first time I launched this back home, we did one group, and the moment I announced it, we did two more groups, and then after that, it blew up. We didn't have enough leaders to lead all the groups because people wanted to be in it, because it was transformative in their lives. They'd never experienced a small group quite like that. The if you stirred it in your heart, if you're tired of doing Christianity alone, if you want to be a part of something that actually matters, start praying about joining these groups. Because I believe God wants to do something incredible in your life through it. And let me tell you something. That's exactly what this world needs to see. That's exactly what our community needs to see. They don't need to see us singing better songs, building bigger buildings, which that is nice. Because when we get this right, we'll have a huge space problem. There won't be any empty chairs in this building if we get this part right. They need to see us loving each other in a way that's so radical, so different, that they can't help but ask, what is going on at that church? The answer is simple. We're going to say, I'm rooted in Christ. We bear each other's burdens. We carry each other's loads. We live like Jesus actually meant what he said. That's the church Jesus died for. That's the church this community so desperately needs. That's the life God wants for all of us. Before we pray, I know your stomachs are going, man, brisket. Mine is, I'm growling. I didn't eat breakfast. I was saving it. But before we pray, I need to ask you something. Maybe you've been sitting here and listening to all this stuff about community and bearing each other's burdens, and you realize you don't even know Jesus. You don't know the real Jesus, the Jesus who stepped down off of his throne. God who stepped off of his throne, wrapped himself in flesh, and came down here to die a death that we couldn't die. He gave us something that we could never do on our own. Maybe you don't know that Jesus. Maybe you've been carrying the weight of your life all alone, and it's so exhausting, and it's so heavy. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. That's not just for people who have it all together. We don't clean ourselves up before we come here. That's called control. It's for you. It's for right now. It's right here wherever you are, no matter where you're at in your journey. You could be so far away from God, but you're here today. Not by accident. Maybe you've never surrendered your life to Jesus and you've been trying to do this on your own strength. This is your moment. Don't leave here the same way you came in. Let's pray. Every head bowed, every eye shut. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, the great I am. And right now, there are people in this room who need you desperately. They've been carrying burdens. They've been hiding from their sins and hiding it from other people, and it's become so heavy. Been carrying burdens. They never even knew they had. And they never even meant to carry them to begin with. Jesus, you said, come to me. So we come right here, right now. Some of us are coming for the very first time. And if that's you, raise your hand. Nobody's looking. Every head's bowed, every eye shut. If this is your first time coming into Jesus, raise your hand. Pray this prayer with me in your hearts. He's hearing you. He hears your heart. He knows everything. Jesus, we've been trying to do life without you. and we're tired. I'm tired. Today I'm turning from my sins. I believe you died for my sin and you rose again. And I surrender my life to you. Come into my heart. Make me new. Because I want to be rooted in you. And for those of us who have prayed that prayer before, and maybe this is your first time, welcome to the family. Welcome to the family. God loves you. This isn't an accident. You're right where you need to be today. And I can tell you, you're not alone anymore. You're not alone anymore. And for the rest of us, Father, change us. Make us the kind of people who grab the bar when somebody is being crushed by the weight of life. Make us a church that lives out koinonia. Not just fellowship, but partnership in this battle. Father, raise up an army of believers who will fight on their knees. Give us the courage to sign up for these rooted groups when they come. And when the time comes, give us the grace to bear each other's burdens and help us to fulfill the law of Christ right here. We love you. In Jesus' name, everyone says, amen. So, introduction. It's going to get deep. We've talked about some addictions. We've talked about some other things. It's going to get deep. But we know we cannot do this by ourselves. Because if you try to do these things by yourself, you're buying into the lie. And that's not surrender. So in 4 weeks, here's the prayer. In 4 weeks, I will have a registration for people to sign up. Most likely we will, I'm just giving you some kind of, I don't know what days they'll be because I need to know how many people are going to sign up. I'm really hoping and sure that we will have a young adults small group that would be 18 to 30. I don't fit that category. We'll have some, I don't know yet. I need you guys to sign up and we will figure out what days a week it'll be. It could be Sunday afternoon. I don't know all the details yet, but you need to sign up. Sign up. If you don't do this one, it'll be 10 weeks long starting in September. Ending right before Thanksgiving. And then in January, we'll launch another group or two then. So if you can't make this one, that makes sense. It's okay. We're going to have more. This is going to be the lifeblood of our church. This is going to be our discipleship process. And I'm excited because I've seen it transform so many lives. Awesome. Are you encouraged? That didn't sound very enthusiastic. Are you guys encouraged? There we go. There we go. Father, thank you. We pray and we thank you for the hands that prepared the food. We pray a blessing over the food. We just allow our conversations to be good, uplifting. And Father, if there's somebody here today that is struggling, allow that. Give them the strength and the courage to reach out to somebody and say, I'm not fine. Thank you for this fellowship that we will have today. In Jesus' name, amen. You guys are dismissed to go get some food.